Welcome, grandkids, to Stunt Granny Audio 338. Christopher, we are yet again just chugging on along here.
Yeah, indeed we are, Kevin. Chugging out, chugging along. Just like Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, it's too bad that in some ways that the payoff only comes at the very end of the show these days. After a very, very long 3 hours.
Right.
But the payoffs have been kind of fun, I will admit, at the end of these shows. And this week was not any exception, in my opinion. Having Brock Lesnar toss people around like rag dolls. It just doesn't ever get boring because they keep him off TV for a long time.
Yeah, it's all I ask for. It really is great to watch Brock just destroy people. And they know that's what people want, and then they give it to them. It's supposed to work.
Yeah, I mean, if only they could keep everything else this simple.
Right.
But, yeah, they don't. I guess, is it any surprise that Lesnar's gonna be in the Royal Rumble to you?
Not at all. No, I expected him to be in the Rumble. This whole time, really, ever since Roman Reigns won the championship, I never expected the championship to be on the line during the Royal Rumble. That's a new wrinkle, but I've always expected Brock in the Rumble. At least Reigns won the title.
Yeah, I guess in some ways it still would have made it kind of intriguing. To have Lesnar at the end of the road for Roman Reigns to get to. But that can still be accomplished this way.
Yeah, it absolutely can. They're still going to need to resolve, you know, the number one contendership going into WrestleMania, you know, after the Royal Rumble. So, you know, any number of options are in play. Although one big one is of course no longer in play.
Yeah, John Cena is definitely not an option anymore.
At least for
the Royal Rumble. I mean, I'm guessing Super Cena is going to try to push it, and they were already talking about him doing rehab.
Right. Yeah. Super Cena might try to push it, but it's going to be hard for them to insert him into something important for WrestleMania. It really, really is. I probably should take the full at least 6 months. After all the other times he came back early. I mean, it's his body, it's his life, it's their company, so whatever they want to do, but I'd advise against it.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what he does. As far as that time off goes, you know, because, I mean, WrestleMania, because what, oh, Jeremy reminded me the other day, he's like, oh, he got some alert that it was 90 days until WrestleMania. And I know that was sometime last week when he mentioned this to me.
Okay.
So, you know, he really has. Because the surgery took place after that, I mean, he'd have less than 90 days to come back. And
yeah.
It would be pretty crazy if he did come back.
And it would be absolutely nuts. I guess I'm not betting against it. Maybe I wouldn't even bet against Seth Rollins making it back in time. The talk is Orton is going. They may decide be on the side of caution with Orton, but he could be back by mid-March. But then again, once again, that's still
Yeah, it's
when
like
he
you
starts
said,
back into
it's
storylines. When do you have him start, working angles on Raw to get him ready for a match? That's still an issue. That's, again, that's the issue with, with Cena. But Cena, really, it's a 6 month recovery time minimum. 6 months is what it should take a professional athlete to recover from, from this type of an injury.
Yeah, and I mean, that's kind of the other crazy thing. Like, I mean, I know that recovery times have gotten shorter, but he's always made those even shorter recovery times look pretty ridiculous.
Yeah,
But
he
yeah,
gets as he does, but
again, though, I mean, and I agree with you that he's gonna miss at least enough time that there's no way he can be in anything meaningful. Because, I mean, even if he's only out through the Royal Rumble, and that would be complete insanity, I mean, they only have 2 months to put him into something. And I don't know,
well, 2 months would be
can't.
plenty, but there's no way. There
Right.
is no way. There should be better. If he can make it back time, there should be and shows no ill effects like he has in the past, or at least no outward showing, there should be a federal investigation. There is just no way.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, for most intents and purposes, Cena is out, though. Like, I mean, that does seem to be the common sentiment. So, yeah, and I feel like Rollins is kind of getting towards, at least the 6 month period of his recovery, but I could be wrong. Like, I haven't really kept track, to be terribly honest with you.
Probably only been 2 months, actually.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well,
Over
then,
2 months.
yeah. Yeah, I mean, my memory's a little rusty. I'll go with yours.
Yeah, it really has not been that long, but he's also a freak of nature athlete, and he's, once again, I don't expect him back either. I don't, I they've been very cautious about injuries in the recent years, so I see these things. I see this playing out differently than maybe in the past.
Yeah, I mean, do you think that all of these injuries, do you think Chris Jericho is going to benefit from these injuries?
I think he very well might.
You know, just because, I guess, and I'm just kind of thinking off the top of my head, that, you know, he's just one of their bigger names, and I mean, if he can stick it out for a couple of months, I mean, he should be able to have a good angle with somebody and have the proper build-up time for it.
I cannot. Maybe, but I can't stand 2016 Chris Jericho. I can't. He's been so awful these last 2 weeks. It's just, I mean, on a show where Ric Flair is Ric Flair, he's been the same Ric Flair he's been 30, 40 years. It seems so weird to think that Jericho is the one who's just, his act is just so out of touch. It's only a 15, 16-year-old act. It's just so bad. And he thinks he's so funny. And it's just, ugh. I just cringe. I just, cringe when his attempt at humor now. It's just.
Yeah, when he's been more serious, I think I've liked him more in recent years. This certainly has not been the case. Yeah, I do more times than not enjoy his mic work, but I again agree with you that the last 2 weeks it's just like
Plus, over the course of his last two or three returns, he's just been beaten so much to. They need to do something about. If he's going to be involved in some major things going forward through WrestleMania, he needs to win some matches.
That would be helpful.
Yeah.
Again, I mean, I guess just because the injuries, I could see that becoming a thing. Again, just because you kind of need his name. Like, as bad as it was, I mean, there are just going to be a lot of your bigger names not there this year.
Right, and did you see the meme that was going around that said everyone who was a champion at the end of last year's WrestleMania is out of action? This year.
Yeah, I mean, that is pretty wild.
That's just crazy.
I mean, it definitely says something about how much wear and tear there is on their bodies doing this.
Right, I mean, you know, we haven't talked about Nikki Bella at all. You know, apparently at the end, by the end of January, she's going to go to a doctor, I guess, some sort of, you know, neck specialist, and find out whether she can ever wrestle again. And that's how, you know, serious her situation is.
Yeah, and I mean, they finally, just within the last few weeks, I feel like, you know, they're really just throwing Brie and Alicia out there.
Yeah,
because they were holding, well, I mean, they were really holding them back a little bit, like off of TV back.
Right.
You know, I mean, not that their position is any better in the company at this juncture, but
they're the jobber girls. I mean, it's kind of sad what's happened to them. And, you know, I guess, you know, over the years, Nikki has become the star of the act. Yeah, sure. Her situation is very serious.
Well, yeah, and I mean, I guess that's the thing that I find a little interesting about that. Like, I mean, Brie to me had a better championship run when Nikki was out with her first shin injury that they talked about at the beginning of Total Divas.
Well, Brie was never the champion during that period.
Huh? Was
I don't think he was ever the champion in that period. I think AJ was the champion for. Remember, AJ was the champion for over between 6 and 9 months. So.
Well, I'm gonna look it up here. I could swear that she had at least something of a title reign.
Don't ask me how. I think Brie had a title reign years and years ago. That was before they left the first time, and before Nikki got her boobs done. When they were still twins.
Divas Championship 2011 to 2012. Oh, okay. Well, yeah, she lost to, did she lose to, oh, whatever. It was around the AJ Lee time there, and Beth Phoenix.
I know AJ beat Caitlyn.
Oh!
didn't Caitlyn beat
Yeah, Taurus? Okay, that was right before they were fired.
Yeah.
Good lord. Okay, I don't know why I thought that was. I thought it was more recent than that.
No. All right. Moving on.
But, okay, well, anyway, I still think that her title run was better than Nikki's, at least from what my memory remembers of it. And I thought that everyone caught on to the stupid Brie mode thing. Like, as dumb as it was, you know, I thought people were kind of into it. So, I mean, I guess I think she can do it in the ring. Like, I always thought that she was a little bit better than Nikki, even after Nikki went into strong style.
Right. But I guess they're about even.
But yeah, I
Not very
mean,
different.
I guess you need them in that role though, if you really want the NXT ladies to help out.
Right. And lately there have, well, Paige is actually out with a minor concussion. And then something really weird is going on with Sasha Banks. Like, she's swearing, like, Mel's reporting she's got an injury. She's saying she doesn't, but she hasn't wrestled since the last Raw of 2015. She hasn't done any house shows. And with how thin this roster is right now, they're not holding anyone off of house shows for no reason. So, something's going on.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I hadn't thought about I had kind of heard people mention the Sasha Banks thing, but hadn't thought about it that much, just because again they've done such a poor job with things. But I mean, if she has some type of injury, minor or more than that, yeah, that really hurts. I mean, people were, getting behind her for better or for worse.
Right, yeah, they absolutely were. And, well, since, all the girls have been out, they've, really just been pushing the Charlotte Becky issue, and the Divas are only getting one segment per show again.
Oh, I didn't even pay attention to that during my Almost Live and definitely half-assed review of Raw. So yeah. Oh, that would figure. The Divas Revolution has already failed. We're back to a two-diva solution.
Right. Yeah. Although I did enjoy I enjoyed the segment last night. I thought, Becky showed a lot of fire. Ric Flair was Ric Flair. Charlotte was just there. Yes, Charlotte's. I think I like her better as a heel, but a lot of that is because of Ric Flair, because of Rick being there, being there with her. She still really doesn't show. Well, it's a double having her dad there is a double-edged sword for especially while she's during the interview segments, because he can help carry the interview segments, but while he's basically just standing there and she's talking, you can see what she isn't interview-wise and charisma-wise.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's a double-edged sword. I just think that it's a bad idea. They're trying to establish identities, and having him around isn't allowing her to do that. Even if she ends up cheating like her dad, you can continue the same storyline. Just remove him. Like, it's more a hindrance, and I think we talked about this, or maybe I talked about this with Jeremy last week, that, excuse me, that, yeah, he's just a hindrance because people want to cheer the old guy that they respect. Like, everyone understands that, that he was the heel back in the day, but they're just not buying it now.
Well, that's been the case for a very long time, but he always wants to go back to being a heel, and he's trying really hard to get the negative reaction. Even pulled Fat Boy out of the old heel storage closet.
Yeah, I will admit that this week he was trying a little bit more to actually get it, but I'm still not sure that it's going to be successful.
Right, yeah.
So, yeah, I do think it helps because, well, and even at least before Sasha's been mysteriously held off TV, they were starting to at least establish her a little bit more, and Becky at least has her own personality, and whether Charlotte with Rick is a good thing or not, like they're at least featuring her as a solo act. Like, I mean, he isn't, wrestling for her. He's definitely helping her cheat.
I mean, he simply really can't do more than distract and maybe pull a leg in today's PG WWE because they're not going to have a man strike a woman or put a woman in a move, you know.
Right.
So, but yeah, I mean, they're definitely featuring Charlotte. I think she is better off as a heel. I don't think that she really had great babyface, you know, charisma to her. I think there is a maybe a natural heelness to her because she's spent her whole life just being a dominant athlete. So there is an ego there. There is an arrogance, a natural arrogance. I think that can, and she is her father's daughter. So she, so all that can combine. I do believe that, you know, she is better as a heel.
Right. Yeah, and I agree. Like, I think that it's a start for her, which is good. Whenever, and I mean, I would imagine that they will at some juncture get him off TV, but it's somewhere to start. So I mean, I do at least think that they're handling the division slightly better for the time being, even though it's getting less airtime.
Right, the Charlotte Becky feud is it's for the most part it's been pretty good, and I like the two of them together. It's not actually a match that they did very much in NXT, so it's very new. I actually think that Becky has actually been better off on the WWE main roster. I think she's actually the one who's actually discovered herself more since coming up because they. You know, the whole steampunk thing, the goggles, the steam coming up from the entranceway, that none of that was part of her character in NXT. Her character, she really didn't have much of a character in NXT either. So she was, you know, the one who was never the champion in NXT. So I think she's actually, you know, so no, I give, a lot of credits for to actually the WWE for bringing more out of Becky Lynch.
Yeah, she's been really awesome. I always mention how she wins the fashion contest every week. And I mean, I don't really mean to put it that
But in
it's
NXT,
not
I
like a
mean,
bad thing. Like, I mean, she just has such a good command of what she wants her look to be like right now.
and that's only been since she's been on the main roster because in NXT, I almost couldn't stand her look because it was so obvious she was trying to be Lita. It was, you know, it was completely a Lita ripoff look. And then, but she's created her own style since she's been on the main roster.
Yeah, and I couldn't stand the wings that she always wore on her ring garb in NXT. Now, I mean, I didn't really catch as much of her time there as you did, but those little wings, I'm so glad that they're not there on any of her ring gear now. They were just awful and
Right.
superfluous. So yeah, I mean, she has, and I mean, I think you mentioned this a while ago. She's the top baby face, and I mean, I think we talked about. Oh yeah, like, does a terrible build up okay if the outcome's good? And the outcome's been good for her.
Yeah, it absolutely has. I mean, I'm sure, you know, she's gonna get the title match against Charlotte at the Royal Rumble, and since she's been, well, let's see, they've kind of gone back and forth with who's had the advantage in the feud, but yeah, it might be time for the title change.
Yeah, I mean, I don't feel like they, and that's kind of funny after you mentioning AJ Lee, and then really not long after that, Nikki Bella ends up with a long streak. Maybe it's just because the women's championship has felt, secondary isn't even the right word.
Right. Well, before Nikki got it, you remember AJ and Paige were hot potatoing it, you know, like every other pay-per-view. And I couldn't stand that. That feud wore way more than ran its course.
Yeah, so, I mean, I guess in between the couple of very long ones, I just feel like they play hot potato with the Divas title far more than they do really any of the other belts. Like, even if, I was going to say that Alberto Del Rio at least held his belt for 2 months.
About 2.5.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess I just feel like, I guess I could look that up while I'm here. Divas Championship reigns. how short some of them really were. Oh, damn it. Make me link on another link. Yeah, there's some pretty short numbers in here.
Right.
There are some, Beth Phoenix had a long one, AJ Lee, Layla and Eve both, and Caitlin had it for a strangely long time.
Yeah, if I remember Caitlin's reign, I don't think she defended it very much. I don't know if she got very many pay-per-views before she started shooting with AJ.
Yeah, wow, and Charlotte's already working on triple digits.
Oh, really? No, I guess she has held it for a while.
September 20th. Hmm. So, yeah, I mean, I could definitely see it changing hands. Especially, I mean, yeah, their blow-off's going to be at the Rumble. So, yeah, I mean, that's a good time to make a change when, again, everything's kind of headed for WrestleMania.
And I do hope that at WrestleMania that, you know, Sasha Banks is in the mix for WrestleMania. If not Bayley. I don't know what they're doing with Bayley right now. If she's going to be remaining in NXT for very long in 2016, or if she's going to make her way to the main roster as well. I guess I could see them doing a four way. I could see it for WrestleMania, even though it would seem a little backwards that, you know, the women always get a multi person match. They never get a singles match at WrestleMania. But you know, there's a lot of matches that serve WrestleMania as well too.
Oh, right. There always is a lot of actors factoring into WrestleMania.
Right.
And you know, one guy to me who's been curiously quiet, is Bray Wyatt. Like,
really? Because I sort of swore he was in 3 seconds last. Last night.
But, yeah, he was, but I mean, one was a complete goof, well, was almost a complete goof segment. He made a big appearance in the segment with Vince McMahon, but then really didn't do a whole lot to Roman Reigns, even though anyone but Roman could win.
No. I think that might end up being a plot point that does get brought up later. They were out there, but they didn't do anything. You know, because they're for themselves, or they're for their leader. This wasn't their fight. Even though they've had issues with Roman Reigns in the past, it still wasn't their fight. So I can see that. I can see this being brought up, and you know, at some point, Bray Wyatt is going to be a baby face. So maybe this could be the start of it. Maybe we'll see like a Wyatt family League of Nations feud going into WrestleMania, possibly. I was just throwing things out there. I mean, it's possible.
Yeah, none of them have anything to do. Like, I guess even to me, even though he was in a bunch of segments, I don't feel like I am like, oh yeah, that's his. Is there something that's his next big feud? Who'd? Oh, I guess Ryback.
Right.
But
that's just about building up to the Royal Rumble when all four Wyatts are going to be in there. You know, all for one, and you know, and the one being Bray. I mean, as a heel, Bray Wyatt has pretty much had his Undertaker feud twice. And he's feuded with John Cena, he's feuded with Roman Reigns already. He's feuded with everyone but Brock, and I don't know if I see that as something that they would do, so maybe he is on the way to becoming a babyface. They are on the way with all of them.
Well, and after you just name all those guys, it's kind of like, well, how, like, Ryback is one of his few options left at this point.
They've actually done that before. They had one match, I believe. I think it was either Extreme Rules or Payback.
Yeah. I mean, I felt like it was kind of familiar too. So I'm not surprised that they had a match. But I guess I don't feel like that one was really a full-blown drug-out feud.
No, it was one and done. And then
there's some room to explore, I guess, with Ryback.
I don't think.
Well, I mean, it's something for Wyatt to do, I guess. Like, I'm talking myself out of my own position now. You know, and not that he could wrestle Cena again. Like, he just doesn't have that many options right now of people to fight. Randy Orton would have been an option, but he's out.
Yeah, that is one they have done. That is the one they haven't done. But yeah, I mean, Bray's character, Bray's spooky character, was ideal for a feud with The Undertaker, and as I said, they've already went there twice.
Yeah, I guess we already brought him up, but I mean, he's had a feud with Chris Jericho already, too.
Yeah.
They're not going to go back to that well again, either.
No, that was a little on the weak side. That was when Bray Wyatt really started to fall off, and then after that is when they started to separate him from the Wyatt family, so, yeah, that's something I ever want to see revisited. Their characters just did not mesh at all. It was kind of a train wreck of a feud.
It was. And I'm trying to think. I feel like we've hit a lot of the stuff from Raw, unless there's something. I guess this thing could be something to be spoken of. Sting's inclusion in the WWE Hall of Fame.
Yeah, really? I guess not much to say about it. You know, deserve. But it'll be a good moment. I'm sure Ric Flair will do the induction, and he'll do a great job. It'll be pretty emotional moment. So yeah, it'll be. I'm sure they'll probably. I guess they'll probably never put Sting in the ring. You know, I'm pretty sure the match with Seth Rollins was Sting's last match now.
Yeah, I would think so. Most of the time that they've put someone in the Hall of Fame, they have been done in the ring.
Right, yeah.
Because I believe Ric Flair wrestled like right after he got inducted there against Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, it was right after, yeah. His last match. They made a point, you know, the only active competitor to be inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Right, so I mean, I wouldn't think that they were going to do that with anyone else. You know, and it was never one of those things that I don't feel like I ever heard any follow-up news on how bad his injury was. Like, I mean, people alluded to it and thought that it was...
Well, on Ric Flair's podcasting, he came right out and said he needs neck surgery.
Oh, okay.
And I think it might be the fusion that put a number of people out for a year or more. In the case of someone who's already 57 years old, it's probably a career ender.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that he got through it is pretty impressive, honestly.
Oh yeah, it was a gutsy performance, and he was doing very well for himself in that match with Seth Rollins. He had his two matches in WWE. He's
definitely getting some money out of this situation.
Yeah, I mean, he's had two DVDs on him now, I'm sure, multiple action figures and the pop figures and all, and shirts and all the rest. So, yeah, he wanted to have his WrestleMania match, and then he got one additional match after that, and yeah, I'm sure he's ready to call it a career after that. I'm sure he's probably ready to call it a career after WrestleMania, but they called him back for one more.
Wait,
would it be nice if he could have won a big match before he retired, but that just wasn't left in the cards. Although he did make Seth Rollins submit on Raw the week before he lost the title match.
Speaking of winning one and a big one, and I guess I did allude to this a little bit earlier. Your reaction to Kalisto becoming the U.S. Champion?
Good for him. It was a good match. He's been doing, you know, really well lately. You know, it's a kind of a wait and see approach here with whether they're going to actually go all the way with him, so to speak, or if this is just going to be a short term thing where Del Rio gets his belt back. It's after 10 p.m. on the East Coast on the night when they're taping SmackDown, and they already advertised the rematch. So for all we know, he's already lost it. Let me check.
Oh, you know what? And I guess that's one of those things that I haven't really mentioned too much. Maybe it's just because I bought the tickets last week or 2 weeks ago. Raw is going to be in Columbus here this coming week. So, no blog. There will be plenty of Tuesday talk to talk about.
Yeah, and it is official. As you might expect, since it's the week before the Royal Rumble, you are getting a Brock Lesnar appearance.
Woohoo!
In Columbus, so that should be fun. So hopefully he'll be suplexing people. Some people will be going to Suplex City for your viewing pleasure.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun. So yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see if. I mean, I guess I just like I like Kalisto's in ring work a lot. They've given him a lot of mic time, and I mean, he's not great, but, you know, he's holding up his end of the bargain, I guess, at least.
Right now, and things could change because the company is run by a 70-year-old man who changes his mind constantly, but right now the idea is they want him to be the new Rey Mysterio. So, and just based on look and size alone, I think I've said it before. They could have put the Ray, they could have put Ray's mask and trunks on him, and a good chunk of the audience wouldn't have known the difference. It's kind of true.
There is a possibility that people may have not known that there is a change, but you know, hey, yeah. I mean, good for him. It will be interesting to see what they do with him. To me, in my opinion, any short term match always goes the way of the challenger. Or the original challenger, I should say, or the new title holder.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, I think that Del Rio is probably a little more needed in the main event, again, because of the lack of firepower that the WWE has been presented with. I mean, they brought him back because of that anyway.
Right.
And... you know, he didn't really get to shine off of that John Cena match nearly as much as they wanted him to.
No. And you know what? Some of it's the creative, the stupid partnership with Zeb, and then the sudden switch to the League of Nations. So, you know, creative plays a part in it, but the bottom line is the guy's just not that dynamic of a performer. They've always pushed him further than what I think his abilities would naturally get him.
Yeah, I'm just not a big fan of his character work. I think his in-ring work is above average at a minimum.
I guess I'll give him that. I guess he just doesn't often have a lot to stick his teeth into. I think he's done some of his best stuff with Kalisto, actually, over the last week, really. I think they worked really well together. Obviously, Del Rio knows the Lucha style, so he can work with Kalisto probably better than anyone on the roster. So, you know, they've been good together. Although, by the time SmackDown's over, they'll have had their third match against each other on television just in about a week, so... There's not much more you can drain from that one.
Yeah, which again to me is another reason why I just think that they're gonna move Del Rio at least onto something else. Obviously, we'll see if it's something bigger. Because I mean, I just think that kind of like the Divas, the U.S. title is. It really was only important because John Cena had it.
Yeah, oh yeah. And I guess it was rumored that they were going to do Cena versus Del Rio at the Royal Rumble, with probably likely with Cena getting his title back. So I guess Del Rio was probably scheduled to lose the title in this time period anyway.
Yeah, I mean... I guess it'll be interesting to see if, I mean, if they think that Kalisto can be the new Mysterio. I mean, it'll be interesting to see if he can help elevate it. I mean, because it just seemed like they, well, and kind of going back to that injury meme, they put those titles on two people of great importance, Daniel Bryan and John Cena, to make them important, but both times, because Cena's lost it twice now, right? Yeah.
Yeah, he lost it to Seth Rollins, and then won it back a month later.
Right.
And, you know, started defending again, started doing the open challenges again, and then did the open challenge that Del Rio answers, and beat him with it. And then, Del Rio's title reign has been, once again, the anchor of Zeb, and Zeb was pretty much an anchor.
Right.
Someone got the bright idea that because of Zeb, he should feud with Jack Swagger. That was a real killer. That probably was what that may have been what killed his US title reign the most.
Yeah, I mean, it was, yeah, I guess there were two, I was thinking that there was two lulls with the US belt, but really, the Seth Rollins thing was not a lull, just because he had the world title too, so they kind of pushed both issues.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was only this most recent lull, I guess, when Cena, didn't have it. So, right. You know, again, I guess it'll be interesting to see if they can establish somebody with that belt and then make the belt itself important. I think that maybe a fresh face like Kalisto might be able to do something like that, yeah, more than some other performers.
I would actually think that because he'd be such a believably beatable champion, I'd like to see him bring back, because he kind of referenced, you know, Cena taking on all challengers, so I'd like to see him bring back the open challenge.
Yeah, I mean, if it ends up being more like a TV title, that is certainly something that helps keep it in people's minds.
Yeah, and maybe make the challenges a SmackDown exclusive thing. Just throwing that out there.
Well, we could only wish there would be some reason to watch SmackDown. Do you think Mauro Ranallo on the mic is a reason alone to watch SmackDown?
Yeah, well, it was the reason I watched last week's show, just to see how he did. I thought he was good. I mean, I know Dan Kuster out there is going to be very, very mad at me when I say this, but And to be honest, I don't have Access TV, so I was never watching the New Japan and Access shows that him and Josh that he was doing commentary on with Josh Barnett. But to me, it's a whole different animal when you're doing commentary for a match that was taped 6 months to a year ago that you've already watched because you are a fan of the product. So as opposed to actually calling something that's happening live right in front of you. So in that sense, I think that some of the work that, you know, that Mauro and Josh Barnett were doing for the Japan show, which I'm admitting that I've never watched a show, but to me it just seems very overrated, you know, to call up, you know, if Jim Ross and let's just say Jerry Lawler went into the studio every week to call one of the greatest matches of WrestleMania. I think they do a pretty damn great job with it, you know? Because I've already seen it before. It's already happened. You already know the historical significance of it. It wouldn't be the...
Yeah, I definitely think that there's something of a difference in those situations. And I just think it'll be, in some ways, interesting. I mean, I feel like Michael Cole... for as much as I used to make fun of him, used to call the action more frequently.
Yeah, I mean, Michael Cole was with Taz, and then with JBL during JBL's first commentary run, where he was actually really good. I actually like Michael Cole a lot from about 2002 to 2007. After he became, that was on SmackDown, which was the tape show, the more laid back show, the show Vince paid less attention to. I mean, since he's been the voice of Raw, and they went through his heel run, and he has to, you know, he's got to, you know, get all these, all the Twitter mentions in, all, you know, all the other BS. You know, yeah, he's been pretty bad.
Well, and I guess that's kind of the interesting thing is that I'll be interested to see where Ranallo goes when more of it kind of gets put in. Like, I feel like they're probably just letting them kind of go out there for the time being and get his feet wet. Like you said, like, he hasn't really quite done anything like this before, at least for SmackDown.
No, he hasn't. And
this kind of frequency.
right, and he's been, for some reason, Byron Saxton is the only announcer who's doing two shows now. And then for just out of nowhere, they've turned King heel.
Yeah, I mentioned that in my little ditty there that I did Monday morning. That again, like just King trying to be bad is just a terrible idea. I don't understand why anyone thinks Byron Saxton is good enough to be on both shows. I mean, it's okay not to have a common link, like, between the shows.
Right,
I don't know why the WWE has had this weird aversion within the last few years to need to have somebody on both shows, whether it was Michael Cole, Byron Saxton, JBL sometimes was the common link. I just have two separate broadcast teams. Like, you have the people around. Even if it's just a two-man team on SmackDown and a three-man team on Raw.
They can completely do without Byron Saxton, and obviously, Jerry Lawler's not going anywhere. I mean, he has a job for life, especially since he died and came back to life on live TV.
Oh man. Yeah, so I mean I guess that's kind of the problem. I don't think you're going to put Ronaldo in that spot. And again, this is a prime reason to keep Saxton off of TV. You're not going to put the new announcer into heel mode right away, I don't think. Especially a play-by-play guy.
No, he's not. I don't think. Well, I hope they don't ever try to make Mauro more of a character. And because, well, some of the stuff they did with, Cole and Lawler, it was well done. The long-term damage it did to the commentary, it just wasn't worth it.
It wasn't worth the short-term pain that I went through. the long-term, it did hurt things more than it helped. And I mean, and I also think that that's kind of when the present version of Michael Cole appeared, which was after when he finally went back to, I don't know if it's baby face or quasi baby face, however you want to deem him. He kind of went back into that mode, and he's just kind of been okay at this juncture. Like, I guess I don't think he's terrible any longer, but
Right. He just
I also don't think he's very good either.
I think no, I think he's overproduced. He has too much to throw to. He's more like a host or in a conductor of the show than an announcer or even someone who's having a flowing conversation with his partners, because he's always got, I'm assuming he's always got Vince in his ear telling him, do this, say this, say that. Mention this sponsor. Mention Twitter. Mention Twitter.
Yeah, I mean that, and I guess that's part of the reason why I stopped blaming him. Is it's become so consistent? It's pretty clear that that's exactly what they want, and they
Right.
don't want anything more than that out of his position. Like, I mean, they could insert somebody else in there, and they'll probably just try to get him to be the same type of person.
Right.
But hey, relaxed SmackDown. We can experiment a little bit. And speaking of relaxed, the language In the Stone Cold versus with Ric Flair podcast. It was on the mild side since it was or at least I listened on the marginally edited version of Clean Talk, Steve Austin.
Yeah, no, they didn't really, there wasn't really any cursing. I mean, it was pre-taped, a while back at Steve's ranch, so they're, for whatever reason, they're not doing these things live from the arena or from WWE Studios anymore. But no, I thought they had a very good conversation. I thought I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, there were I don't always do a good job of paying attention to maybe wrestling history. When people talk about digging into it, there are definitely some factoids I don't know about. I pointed one out to you, had no idea that Sam Houston was related to Jake the Snake Roberts.
Yes, he is. They are brothers. We probably don't need to talk too much about Jake's family history because it's a pretty sad and depressing story. But yeah,
Yeah,
they indeed.
and I guess there was a lot of stuff that I wasn't surprised by. And I mean, Flair needing a whole lot of money was well, spending a whole lot of money and needing a whole lot of money was definitely a common theme.
I had never heard the WrestleMania 24 story again, where Flair had already owed Vince $800,000, and Flair pretty much just take his WrestleMania 24 check, which I obviously was substantial. I mean, and pay it back with interest. So I guess Rick, yeah, I guess they gave Shawn Michaels and Ric Flair enough of the credit for that buy rate. That was also the one where they paid a lot of money for Floyd Mayweather, so they must have really felt that. And I think it did too. I think it was too. I think that by the time they got to the last week, I think Flair and Shawn Michaels was what sold. And it was a over 1 million buy ship. It's one of the top five or six, I think, ever.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that they did a good job with the build to that one, and Shawn Michaels' best run of matches at WrestleMania probably happened later in his life.
Absolutely. I mean, he pretty much had the best match at WrestleMania every year, except for the, well, the one where he faced Vince. It was highly, highly, highly entertaining, the match that Shawn and Vince had. I mean, so you can kind of make an argument that it was the best match on that show, if you really want to think about it. Because I don't think that was the same year that Cena fought Triple H, and then Mick Foley and Edge had their street fight. So, which are all both really good. I don't think there was an all-time classic at all on that show. That was
Right.
Chicago. So maybe you could make an argument that Shawn and Vince had the best match, but most other years since he came back in 2002, yeah, Shawn wasn't the best match on the show.
And where was I,
Oh, the
Oh, it's
podcast.
the Ric Flair retirement check
Yeah.
story. That's where that emanated from. Yeah, I hadn't heard that story myself. It really didn't come as any of a surprise that he lived the gimmick. Just even though, I probably had no idea that he was changing outfits as frequently as he was, and that type of thing when I was watching him when I was younger. Just knowing his reputation at this juncture.
Spent more than he made. I mean, custom made from Michaels in Kansas City, which, you know, obviously was a real shop, and I just had to look it up. it's still there.
Gotcha. I mean,
Kansas City is not exactly the fashion capital of the world, but they made nice stuff, obviously.
So I mean, I guess I just thought a lot of the stories, they were interesting. They weren't too surprising, aside from that one. So yeah, if you haven't listened, I don't know any reason not to listen.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of surprised that we let him put it up on his, you know, on his podcast feed the day after for free. Sometimes there's apparently been a little bit of a delay before it went up on the Steve Austin, on the actual Steve Austin show. So yeah, you can just go to the podcast1.com, look for the Steve Austin show, not the Steve Austin Show Unleashed. to hear the Ric Flair, the Steve Austin interview with Ric Flair.
Yeah, I may have been guilty of that that myself. And I was wondering where I was missing some of these interviews, and now I know.
Yeah, it does get confusing, and Austin probably only needs one uncensored show a week, honestly. When he doesn't have the weeks when he doesn't have a guest, and he's just talking to his buddies at the ranch, basically. the show can really meander.
Well, there's a reason I don't listen to those shows, so I'm glad to know that they were bad.
Right.
And that was another thing I guess I mentioned in that little ditty, that that Broken Skull Ranch challenge is, I mean, it's pretty fun. Like, I watch American Ninja Warrior a lot. This kind of reminded me of the Spartan Race Tough Mudder version of American Ninja Warrior, so it works. I mean, it's kind of fun. I'm not going to go out of my way to watch it.
Yeah, no. I don't either. But one or two episodes are on a day when I got some time. Yeah, I'll just sit there and watch it. It's a fun show. I think it's certainly better than Steve's other show, Redneck Island. That one I've never been able to really get into.
Gotcha. Well, we hope that everyone got into this show. This is DeFrango 11. On the other end was Chris Calamita. Both Twitter handles as well as at Stunt Granny. Tonight's beverage of choice was the Wright Imperial Red Ale from Stunt Granny Brewing. It still needs some adjustments the next time I brew it. But it still was the second most drank beer at the faux Stunt Granny wedding, so it must have been at least okay. And with that, I am out.
All right. Later.